Praise the Lord. He is holy. And because He is, what does He ask of us? To be different than Him? No, He asks us to be as He is. Amen. And since He's a holy God, and we're supposed to be like Him, remember He's also the God that sent His only begotten Son into all the world, or unto the world. Amen. And so then we should be like Him again, and we should take that message into all the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like to look with you tonight in your Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful, again, I say, to be here and to look out across here, and just every once in a while I just almost jump because I see somebody else, amen, that I know. Praise the Lord. I'm supposed to know a lot of you, and I can't remember, but then again, amen, my wife's been dealing with that for a lot of years, that I can't remember things. Never forgotten her anniversary, though, or her birthday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those are the only two things I remember, though. Amen. Acts chapter number 8. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. You ever do something you really didn't want to do, brother? You ever really preach when you really wasn't ready to preach? I wasn't about ready to read my text, but since you're standing up now, I got to do it. Amen. So I guess we'll... No, brother. No water, Brother Brian. I'm serious. I'll knock it off, man. That would be dangerous. Don't do that. Praise the Lord. I told somebody that the other night, and they brought me one, and I was a little more gentle than I was just now. I'm sorry about that. But I panicked when I saw that thing. They brought it, and I said, no, brother. I'm spitting and spewing enough. I don't need to drink anything. Well, okay, they were very nice, just like he was, and they put it away. Well, the thing was, they forgot they still had one sitting there from the service previous. And I'm preaching away, praise God, and I'm all excited. I stick my whole hand right down in that thing. So that's why I don't want that water up here. Amen. So now I got to read my text. Amen. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. I want to read really fast, okay, because I got several verses to read, and I'm watching that one-eyed monster back there, and his eyelash just keeps batting. Amen. And the angel of the Lord, verse 26, spake unto Philip, saying... Now, does everybody know what just happened here? Does anybody not know who Philip is? Philip, remember, was the deacon. So when he got chosen to be a deacon, that means... Or a couple of the requirements were that he was a man of faith. Amen? And full of the Holy Ghost. Well, he was so full of faith in the Holy Ghost that he was also an evangelist. Praise the Lord. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. And so he goes off to Samaria and they have a wonderful time. But then we pick up here on verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And let me skip. Is it okay to skip one word in the reading of the text? Just one. And they went on their way. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Sorry, brother. I was a little rough on that water. If my wife would have been here, I'd have had to pay for that after church. But you guys, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell her. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I people often get these, I don't know how in the world they get the notions they have sometimes, amen, about missionaries. I have all kinds of people come up and say all kinds of things. And if you were planning to ask me this question after church tonight, may the Lord have mercy on you. Amen. But people come up and they ask a lot of strange questions. And they ask those questions. You know, it's not, I know the little kids, you know, did you eat monkey meat and that kind of stuff? That's easy. Anybody can answer those questions. Amen. But they ask questions, you know, and you can tell by the way they're asking, brother, that they think you're superhuman or something like that, you know. And it just, it never ceases to amaze me, amen, because I know me. I see me in the mirror, and I even see inside my heart, and I know that I am, unfortunately, not superhuman, and I am not, amen, what I'd like to be. So here's one of my many failures that I have in life, shortcoming spiritually, and that is, the Bible says, you know, that we ought not have... I just went blank. I'm thinking in Spanish. Acepción de personas. How in the world? I have favorites. I can't think. How does the Bible say? Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. We should not have respect of persons. That was bad. Amen. And so, but I do. I really do have favorites in this life. Amen. Unfortunately. But in the Bible, I have three. In the New Testament, I have three favorite preachers. And I know you're supposed to love all preachers the same except your pastor, and he gets a little bit extra. But I read this, and so this reminds me of my three favorite preachers. My first one, of course, without any doubt, is the Apostle Paul. Amen. How many of y'all like the Apostle Paul? Amen. Now, I just said y'all. I noticed something since I've been here, brother. All these years, I've been away from Oklahoma, and I have not lost this terrible accent. And you've been gone no more than I have, and I don't hear it in you. Does y'all hear the Oklahoma accent in your pastor? That's disgusting. Amen. But anyway, you've lost it, I think. Now, it sounds like some of them don't think so. Amen. But anyway, if you just have to overlook my grammar and my accent tonight, praise the Lord. But Paul is my favorite because he's a missionary. Amen. Anybody agree with that? Very few. You're supposed to raise your hand, brother. Amen. I like him. Amen. Now, I don't consider myself like the Apostle Paul. I certainly know that I'm nowhere close to the Apostle Paul. But just because he's a missionary, there's just something in my heart that just makes me like that man. Amen. Then I have another favorite in the Bible, and this is Peter, the Apostle Peter. Now, I like Peter for a very strange reason. I like him because I really don't like him. Amen. I like him because I have to, because he's so much like me. I see myself, you know, not a great preacher. I don't mean 3,000 people got saved when I preached in, you know, sometime. But when I see him, when I listen to him, when I read about him in scriptures, I mean, he's always opening his mouth when he shouldn't. He's always sticking his foot in there. I mean, he's just always doing something wrong. He's always, you know, so blustery and all of that. Just, I mean, look at the water example tonight. I mean, that's a prime example of what I'm talking about. And so I really don't want to be like Peter in that sense, but because I am so much like him, there's a kinship there in my spirit. Amen. But also my third favorite, and that we're reading about him tonight, and that is Philip. Amen. Now, I don't know if to call him Deacon Philip, Evangelist Philip, Preacher Philip, or whatever, but I'm just going to say Philip. Amen. How many of you like this man Philip right here that we've just read to you about? Now, I'm taking a lot here on faith tonight by assuming that you know who Philip was, you know his background, you know all of those things. But I talked about that revival that he was preaching there in Samaria. And he's up there, you know, preaching, and he just went there just like, you know, all preachers ought to go there. Amen. With a little bit of shiny spots on his knees and his Bible under his arm. And he goes off to Samaria, and he just sits down or stands up or whatever he did. And he starts talking and preaching, and pretty soon God begins to move. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, a lot of you talking tonight about youth camp this last week. I guess it was this last week. Amen. I mean, would you like to be in a youth camp like Samaria when everybody, it seemed like, was just ready to pray, where everybody was really getting in? Everybody was ready to sing, amen, and do whatever they needed to do. Well, that's what was happening there in the city of Samaria, in that region there. And Philip was the guy who had the privilege of getting to preach a meeting like that, amen. I've preached in a lot of places, and I walked away, and I sometimes, unfortunately, did not feel like it was a whole lot of a privilege, amen. I felt like I got the short end of the straw after some of those meetings, amen. But brother and sister, I'm telling you, if I'd have had the chance to preach where Philip was preaching and seen people respond like that, I mean, you'd have to be crazy to want to leave a meeting like that. Can you say praise the Lord? Hey, man, India, let me give you a little example. Now, I don't know anything. I've never seen anything on the wise of Samaria there or the day of Pentecost. But in India, it's got to be one of the closest things I've ever seen. Hey, man. But, sister, I'm telling you what, those people in India, they are. That's why I love India so much. I mean, those people are so hungry. Hey, man, they want to know. They want to hear. They whatever. I mean, they will respond. Amen. Now, I don't want to lead anybody astray here. People always ask, well, you missionary, you see thousands of people get saved. And no wonder you never want to come here and preach in America. Well, I've never seen thousands of people get saved. I have seen hundreds come to the altar, but I'm not a fool. I'm not going to try to pretend to tell you that they're all getting saved. Amen. And you'll understand case in point here in just a second. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost does get to working on them, amen, and when you're preaching and it doesn't happen just in one altar call, but after time as God begins to open their eyes and turn them from darkness unto light, that really does make a difference. Amen. I was preaching back in February over there in India, and I was preaching a campaign crusade, whatever you want to call it, outdoors. And those Indian brethren, they go to all sorts of trouble. Amen. Stuff that even just, I mean, it tries my patience, some of the things they do as far as the formalities of the way they think it's always got to be done. And they always, when you have an outdoor meeting, you got to have a stage. Amen. Well, and so they have this stage, amen, about this tall off the ground down there. Amen. And so I'm standing up there. Well, I'm the kind of guy when I'm preaching, or not preaching, but when I'm praying for folks, I like to lay hands on them, you know. And so this thing is so tall, and I you know, and these people over there, they're so short, amen, anywhere from 4.5 to 5, 5.5 feet tall. I mean, I gotta, you know, bend down there to get them, amen, like that when we're praying for them. And they just pack up there against the platform, and so I can get row number one, row number two, and row number three, and that's literally how close they may be. But I can't get anywhere beyond row number three, amen. So I made a stupid mistake one night of preaching away, and the brethren, they told me don't do this, but I didn't listen. I didn't learn my lesson, but now I know, amen. I thought, you know, praise the Lord, you got to get out there and be among them, right? And so I come down off the steps on this side. I had no more got to the second step when them people saw the preacher coming, and don't, it's not that they think, you know, great things of me, but just they respect anybody that's a man of God, supposedly, according to, you know, even in Hinduism, you know, they always want a blessing somehow. When they saw me, brother, it was like a wave came, and those people began to run around there, and brother, they swept me off those steps, amen, and I'm trying. And it's just like Jesus, brother, when he's walking out there in the multitude, and the disciples said, what in the world do you mean? Who touched me? Amen. I mean, they were just squeezing the life out of me there as I was trying to pray. Amen. Well, here's what I'm trying to prove to you, that not everybody gets saved. You know, you lay hands on one of them over there, and so they want you to lay hands on them. And before you can even hardly get dear Jesus, you know, out of your mouth to start praying, somebody grabs your hand and slaps you down on their own head, you know, and they want you to pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And these two women, amen, my hand went from her to her, back to her, and over to her, and then they started fighting each other right there in the altar call. That's why it don't matter how many people come to the altar, they're not all getting saved, I can promise you that, amen. I mean, regular fighting right there in the altar, amen. But that's the kind of meeting that Philip was in. I mean, it would be hard to leave a place like that, can you say amen? But brother, the voice of the Lord spoke, and this is why I like the man Philip so much. No matter what was going on, no matter how high the meeting was, no matter how good everything seemed to be for the preachers, or from the preacher's perspective, when God spoke to him, he said, I've got to go, and he left immediately, and he went not to a revival, he went out in the middle of the most forsaken, amen, place you could imagine, the desert, and there he was. Hallelujah. But while he was there, he noticed something. Amen. Looked just like a little fuzzy thing until he got to looking, and he got and looking, and it got a little closer. Oh, and then he could distinguish it there on the horizon. It wasn't a little fuzzy thing. It was a cloud of dust that was rising up there. And as he watched that, and he realized, oh, that's a chariot, or no, that's two, or that's three. I mean, you know, I know the Bible just talks about one, but there had to be a whole pile of them, amen. I mean, have you ever seen the president or the secretary of the treasury go around in one little Volkswagen Beetle bug, amen? No, sir. I mean, they always got the biggest, fanciest limousines, amen, and they always got about a whole pile of folks in a line there. And
this guy was the Secretary of the Treasury from down there in Ethiopia. So you know there had to be a big pile of people in that caravan. Amen. But he's driving along there. Amen. In that chariot. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip. And he said, go. Amen. Join yourself to that chariot. And the Bible says that Philip started running. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he ran right up beside it. Amen. And you know, you think I'm adding and making something up that ain't really there. But it really is when you look. Because he's not only runs up there. Amen. But he keeps on running apparently as the chariot's going along. Because the Bible even tells us what he was listening to. What the guy was reading from the Bible. And the whole time Philip must have been listening as he read there from the book of Isaiah. And then he even had enough strength and breath, which I'm about to run out of, amen, to stop it or to go and say, do you understand what you're reading, amen? And Philip's, or the man, the Ethiopian eunuch said, no, I don't understand. How can I understand? Somebody's got to tell me. And so he gets up, he stops the chariot. He says, come on, get up in here. So I can say anything I want about the north. Amen. Praise the Lord. Actually, she is a little south of here, so that makes it a little better. Amen. Middletown, praise the Lord. But anyway, brother, he's running. He gets up in the chariot, and he begins, the Bible says, to talk to him. Praise God about the things of the Lord. Now, they go on, and we didn't get there, but they stop. They see a little puddle of water there, and they get out, or more in a puddle, I guess. But they get out of that chariot, and they go down there, and while that Ethiopian man is gasping and spewing and sputtering and cleaning the muddy water out of his eyes, suddenly Philip is gone. Hallelujah. The Spirit took him off just like that. Amen. Now, I'm almost ready to get started here in just a minute. Amen. Y'all been very patient with me. But brother, what I would like to share with you tonight for a few minutes, if the Lord will help me, and that is the following. Amen. That there's three things, and I may not even get to all three of them, but we'll start with number one. Amen. That's where you normally start. First thing I notice about this man that I really like about Philip, and that is he found joy and excitement in having the chance to witness to people that he met in the way. Can you say amen? Now, my point was a whole lot shorter than that, but I just gave you the expanded version. Amen. He got excitement out of witnessing to people. Praise God. Brother and sister, I'd like to ask you a question. What has happened? Amen. And I don't want to sound accusatory here tonight. I hope I don't sound like I have a bad spirit. I sort of sounded like I did to Brother Brian there. I'm sorry. But I really don't have a bad spirit to you folks tonight. Amen. But what happened? What has happened to us over the generation? Do you ever remember the time when you used to get excited when somebody said, hey, why don't you go and witness? Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but brother, I've seen it even in my own life that there's a few times when things just kind of cool down, if you'll let me say it that way. Amen. And you don't feel what you used to feel. But brother, praise God, what made Philip a great man, amen, was not that he had been a deacon. It was not that he had become an evangelist. But what made Philip a great man was the fact he always got excited when he had a chance to tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The other day I had, here's another reason for you not to think missionaries are anything different than the rest of us. My clothes get dirty. Amen. And stinky too. Amen. And so the other day I had to stop in a laundromat. Amen. And I went in there, Brother Brian, and I got out the quarters and I fed that monster there. Amen. And I opened his gaping mouth and I threw in all them stinky clothes of mine and slammed his jaw shut. Amen. And pushed the little button. Amen. And away it started. Praise the Lord. And so I turn around and there's only one man there in the laundromat that day. Another man. Can you believe that? Two guys so cursed, amen, that they had to wash laundry on the same day. Amen. So I turn around, I looked at him and he looked at me. And you know, next thing I did, I asked him, I said, hey, sir, can you tell me, I need to find a little convenience store close to here. And I need to go get me a bag of ice. Where could I buy me a bag of ice? So he comes over and he tells me, no, you go down here and you can turn in back there and stop letting it over here and across the street on the other side. Okay. All right. I think I can find that. So I go down there and I follow these instructions and I get down there, turn the corner, and sure enough I see it from over there. I go up and back, buy my little bag of ice, and I walk back to about four blocks to the laundromat and put it in the little ice chest thing, and I'm happy, you know, I'm ready to go now. Everything's going just fine. I go back in the laundromat and that man's still sitting there. Amen. This time he's moved from where he was. He's got a little bit closer to where I am. Amen. So anyway, we get to talking there. He heard my accent there and he wanted to know where I was from. And so I I tried to let him down gently, amen, but anyway, when I told him, oh, really? And I told him, but I don't really live there anymore, you know? And so then I told him, well, where I call home right now, and it was in Missouri. Oh! And that struck a note with him, Missouri. He said, yeah, I used to live out in Kansas City. I said, you did? Well, what took you out there to Kansas City? Oh, it was my work. And I thought, oh, and stupid me, I asked, what kind of work are you in, amen? And so he tells me what he was in at that time. He said, well, it was professional football that took me out there. Well, when I heard that, I stopped and I thought, he looked nearly as old as I am. So, you know, I thought, you know, he's kind of old dude. So I told him, I said, well, I don't know much about football since I was just a kid, but tell me, you know, tell me about when did you play or who were the famous people or, you know, the most well-known people you played with. So he names off all these people. I never heard of none of them. Amen. So I'm in the dark already. Amen. I said, well, what was your name? He tells me his name. Amen. So anyway, I said, okay. And we go on. And so I go back to wash my clothes, but what he does not know, I gotta hang on to this thing. I get over there just like you bunch of kids, amen. My thumbs are a little bit slower, but they still work like yours do. And I get over there on the cell phone, and I get to search. I typed in, you know, his name on the. I do it with one finger, not like y'all. I do it with my finger there, type in his name, and sure enough, comes up, and it's this guy from England. I think that is him. This was a black man, and I thought this ain't him. So I punch it back in there, and I type his name in again, and I add an S to the end of his name, amen. And sure enough. There it pops up, and I thought, well, I can't tell if that's it, so I click on that first option there, and I wait till it pops up, and I start reading, okay, something, Kansas, oh, wow, yeah, he played for Kansas City, and it tells the year, now, this is the right, oh, and he was arrested, and I ain't gonna tell you what he was arrested for, but I thought, it's just me and him in this laundromat. I put my phone away and I said, Jesus, I hope he didn't see me looking him up on the internet. Amen. Brother, we go on and I made a few more comments. And finally I said, well, what did you think about Kansas City? Amen. And he looked at me and said, didn't like it at all. I said, oh, well, I they got great barbecue, but I mean, I didn't know why I didn't like it. So I asked him, I said, hey, why didn't you like it in Kansas City? Was it just, you know, too flat? The terrain just was ugly to you or something? No, he said, well, it's because they cut me from the team. And I went, ding, 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 ding. I already knew that. And I know why they cut you from the team. Amen. He said, well, I guess, you know, he kind of grumbled around a little bit. And finally, he just said this because, well, you know, I mean, you know, I played football all my life and I'd already seen it. And, you know, he was the number one rusher for the year that he was in Syracuse University and so all this. And so, you know, he had a record for a long time and everything. And so I already knew some of the background because, you know, I'd done checked him out, so to speak. Amen. But then he said something. Well, you know, when they cut me then, just everything started falling apart. And I'm thinking, I know why it all fell apart. And it just, well, I never got to go back and play ball anywhere else. Amen. Brother and sister, I finally looked at that guy and I said, you know, you sound like everybody else I know in this world. What's that? What is that? And I said, it's because you're just like everybody else. You just want your life to matter and to mean something in the end. Yeah, I guess that's right. I guess you're right there. I guess that's right. I guess so. We go on talking, brother. Amen. And pretty soon, we get to talking about the Lord, and he gets a little nervous. And so I don't even know if his clothes is really dry. But he goes over and jerks the door open while the thing's still flipping, you know, turning. And he starts piling his clothes out in that little basket, and then he stuffs them in a bag. And he said, well, nice to talk to you. Nice to meet you. I'm going to go out. You know, I got to go here. And so he goes out the door. Before he goes out, I stopped him. I said, hey, Michael, I said, listen. I said, one thing you need to remember. He's only 43. I said, Michael, someday you're going to be 73. And I said, ain't nobody going to remember you. And nobody's going to remember what you did. And everybody else is going to have beaten your record that you made. And I said, when it's all over with, you're going to find out the only thing in this world that really gives a man value is what he's done for Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's nice. Yeah, I appreciate that, y'all. And he goes off, amen, and out the door he went, amen. And he walks out, and by this time my clothes are dry, and I'm trying to hurry. Help me, Lord. And I run over, and I put my clothes in the dryer, and I feed it, you know, and I close the door and everything, and I'm sitting there. And when the coins finally go, you know, ching, 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 ching down there, it says 25 minutes. And I'm thinking, oh, man, 25 more minutes in this place. I can't stand it. Amen. About that time, somebody else comes in the door.
and it's this little lady, amen, and she comes in there, and she goes over, and she starts putting poking clothes down in two or three different machines. And anyway, she said something, and she said something about, oh, it's not as hot as it usually is, thank God, or something like that. And I thought, haven't heard that today. And then she goes on, and she said something else, and I started talking to her. And before long, brother, that woman began to tell me she lived nearby, and she comes to Wash, and she goes to visit her mama. And then she starts telling me about her 25-year-old daughter. She's got three little children, and just life is a wreck, and everything's falling apart. And she just goes on and on. And I told her, I said, listen, ma'am, I said, why don't you go ahead and put the quarters in there and get that machine started? And I said, when you get done, I want to pray with you. Amen. We're going to pray for your daughter, Alexandria. And so she, you're going to make me cry. And she's feeding the machine, and she can't see it and everything. And she gets the quarters in there. And when we went to prayer, I don't know what she did when we prayed. I didn't look. I didn't peek at her. But when I got done and said my little amen, she started praying then. Hallelujah. And she began to pray, and you could tell it was just years of sadness and frustration all pent up in one moment, and she began to spill it all out to the Lord. Hallelujah. And anyway, finally she left, and she went her way, and I'm still in there waiting for my 25-minute machine to run out. Amen. And while I'm sitting there, I just caught myself saying, praise the Lord. Lord, why can't we do this another day? Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, if you really love souls like we're supposed to, even washing clothes, you would see it as an opportunity to take the gospel to somebody that desperately needs it. Can you say amen? Young people, it's a wonderful thing to pass out gospel tracts. I believe in it and I do it. But I'm telling you what, it is not enough. Amen. Even if you highlight the church directions in yellow and give it to folks, it will not be enough. They're not looking for that. They're not looking for a list of five scriptures, amen, and then a little prod, you know, to try to push them over the edge and see if you can't get them to bow their heads and pray. They're waiting and looking for somebody that cares, somebody that loves them, somebody that can feel what they're feeling, who can sit where they're sitting and will respond and tell them that Jesus knows just what you need, amen. Amen. Oh, we ain't going to get nowhere tonight, amen. I remember, have you been to Fletcher, where I come from? Yeah. Whole little town of Fletcher down there in Oklahoma. Amen. You know, I know y'all think that every city in America has a railroad tracks, you know, and has two sides, you know, the good side and the bad side. Fletcher was so little, we didn't even have two sides of the tracks. We just had one side. Amen. Just a little bitty spot in the road, basically. But anyway, I'll never forget it. We lived down southwest corner of town. I was 5 years old, and the way I know that is because my daddy, he was already saved, and I know which house we lived in, and he got saved, and then we moved out of that house all in that same year while I was still five. So we still lived down there, so daddy hadn't been saved very long, amen. And daddy, he loved to witness. I mean, he would go to church, that church folks would meet every Friday night, and then they'd pray together, and then they'd go out, and they would knock doors and pass out tracts and sit on the porch and sip iced tea. You know, you just got to understand, this was out there in Oklahoma, amen. And so anyway, he loved to witness. And one night, and please don't shoot me over this, I hope you don't get mad at me, but in our little town, we had a county fair down at the big town, but our little town, even our little spot in the road town of Fletcher, we used to have our city fair every year. Can you believe that? Amen. And so anyway, that year the church people said, well, we're going to go to the fair and pass out tracts. You know, it sounded like ulterior motives to me, but anyway, they really did mean it, and they did do it. Amen. And so we're in daddy's little 63 Ford pickup, and we're flying down the road, and I was 5 years old, so I thought we was flying, but we're going down the road, you know, and he's up there in second gear, and he just about pulls that thing down in third gear. And back in those days, you know, no seat belts, man, everybody in America was free in those days. Amen. But anyway, no seat belts, and I'm sitting up there on my knees, and he's driving, you know, and about the time he pulls that thing down there, I said, oh, daddy, stop. Stop, daddy. And he slammed on those brakes and nearly threw me right through the windshield, you know. And so I grabbed that old metal dashboard, amen, and he gets it to a stop. And he said, what is it, son? What is it? You know, he thought something's wrong with me or something. And I said, oh, daddy, right there. Oh, there's Slats. Oh, Slats lives right here. We got to stop. We got to talk to Slats. Oh, son, we're supposed to go up there. We're going to witness to people, you know. I mean, you get that now. We're going to go witness to people. We don't have time to stop and witness to somebody. Now, figure that out, amen. Amen. But anyway, Daddy stopped because he loved me and he loved Slats and he really, really, really loved Jesus. Amen. Little old one-room house, tiny little thing, amen. I mean, it could have sat right up here in the corner, up here, one little room. Years later, which even before I was born, somebody had built a little lean-to roof on the end of it for a tiny little kitchen, but it's just one room was all it was. A little five-year-old kid, I bailed out of that old pickup truck, and we go up the steps there into the little house, paint peeling off. It's just old gray clapboard siding house is all it was, amen. But I busted in the door, you know, and there's this iron bedstead right there in the middle of the floor. The bed takes up the whole room there. Amen. It's the living room, the den, the dining room. It's the whole thing right there. And this bed's right smack in the middle, taking up all the room. And I don't mean to be rude, but he's laying there in the bed, and he didn't have no pants on. He just had a pair of shorts on. And his legs literally were swollen up like basketballs. I mean, they were huge. And had that oozy, wet, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But anyway, he's all swollen up. And so anyway, we go in there. And let me stop. You just have to know Slatsies. Slats is kind of like Melchizedek in the Bible. Y'all remember Melchizedek, you know. Abraham didn't know where he come from, didn't know nothing about him. I mean, he's just there. Amen. Well, that's the way Slats was. I don't know where he come from. I don't know nothing about him. He's just, ever since I can remember as a little boy, Slats was always there in town. And anyway, but he was laying in that bed, and so we get out there and we get out to talk to him. Well, I love Slats, and I didn't even know what his real name was. I just called him Slats, and I still to this day don't know why that his nickname was Slats. But he always called me Rooster because back in those days, brother, in those days I had enough hair to have a cowlick up here and a rooster tail back there. Amen. And so he always called me Rooster. And I remember going up to Viola's Cafe out there on the highway. You don't even remember this stuff. But anyway, just knowing he's Oklahoma, it just makes me feel better all of a sudden. Amen. But I remember going up to Viola's Cafe down there. And so she'd put in this little bitty aluminum window. It was like 27 feet off the ground, it seemed like, to a little five-year-old kid. But I'd go up there, and I always ordered Cokes. You know, you order whatever you want. And so I always order Coke. Well, after you tell her Coke, then you tell her what flavor. I want a Dr. Pepper Coke, you know. Everything was a Coke back when I was a kid. Amen. And then you just told them what flavor. So anyway, I'm asking for my Dr. Pepper Coke when all of a sudden a voice back over here says, "Hey, Rooster." And I turn around, and there was Slats sitting in his car. Amen. Now, brother, in your day, you guys had some of the most ugly paint colors on cars I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what model it was. I don't know nothing about it. Amen. That thing was this ugly, murky green, light green color. Amen. Had a white striped thing pointy on the front end and running down the back. Had a trunk on it about from here to the wall, it seemed like, on the back end of that car. And had a tail fin sticking up about that high. Amen. An old poochie out red taillights on the back end of that thing. And that was what Slats drove around in. Amen. And so I get out and I walk over there. And like I said, I don't even know nothing about him. Amen. Daddy just told me when Daddy was a little boy that Slats and his brothers and his dad run bootleg whiskey out there in Comanche County. And one night they was up there in Porter Hill and they had a bunch of bootleg whiskey and they was bringing it down that long hill. Amen. Heading to Elgin. They was going to sell that stuff. Well, they're coming down the bottom, brother. And they had one of them old iron bridges, you know, arch bridges, all riveted together and everything. Amen. They missed the bridge on Cache Creek and they shot off about 50 feet down in the bottom of that old sandy creek bed. Amen. A couple of them died and Slats was crippled up for the rest of his life. And so when I met him, that's all I ever knew him like, was crippled up, but sometimes he could drive around. Well, I gotta hurry. We busted into his little house, saw him there in a bad condition. His mama's up in her 80s. She's sitting in a little metal folding chair at the end of that iron bed and she's just sitting there and just crying, shaking her head because she's watching her son die basically right before her eyes. Amen. We talked to him, gave him some tracts, went on out and did whatever we did. A few nights later, amen, my pastor was sitting down. You remember my pastor? He's sitting down at the lunch table. And all of a sudden, meep, 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 meep. Somebody lays on that horn and will not stop. My pastor got up. He's always a real dignified man. He goes to the door. He sees who it is. He never called him Slats. He always, you know, preachers can't do that. You know, preachers have to call you by your real name. And he goes down there and he leans over in that old green monster car. Amen. Leans into the window of that car where Slats is at. And he says, "Well, Nelson," his name was Nelson Depew. Ain't that a deal? Amen. He looks at him. He says, "Nelson, what can I do for you?" And he said, Nelson just looked up at him. And he reached over in that passenger seat, stuck up in his face two pieces of paper,
And he said, the other night, preacher, he said, Jack and Rooster came by and gave me these tracts. He said, I came today to get saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, he lasted about a year and he went into eternity, but he was ready. Praise God. Why? Because somebody, even if it was just a little five-year-old boy, got a little excitement when they had the chance to tell others about Jesus. Can you say amen? And I'm quitting with this. I wish I could tell you I was always like that little five-year-old boy. But I can't, at least not, and be honest with you. When I was 15, I got a job in the local supermarket. Hey, man, it's tiny. It could have fit in half of this sanctuary right here. I remember before I married my wife, she wanted to know, you know, we was finding out history and everything. And I told her I worked in a grocery store back at home when I was, oh, really? Was it a big store? And I, yeah, pretty good size, pretty good size. She's never let me live it down. Because for the first time she saw it, and she's thinking, you know, all these Krogers and all these monstrosities y'all have up here, or Jungle Gems or something like that, you know. And she's never let me live that down. But old Johnny put me in the back. Amen. Not because I was bad. Amen. He put me in the back in the meat market. And so I worked in the meat market. I worked there a couple more years. I was about 17 at this time. And he'd always told me, you know, Chuck, you know, just always talk to him, always be friendly, because the friendlier you are, the more they buy. Amen. So I had explicit permission to stand and talk to the customers. Amen. I never was lazy. I can't stand that. Amen. And my mom and daddy raised me right, so I was always friendly anyway. And you can tell I can talk. So, I mean, that was never a problem for me. But, I'd lean on the counter, talk to everybody, and they always started at this end, and this is the stuff that makes my wife so mad she can't stand it. Amen, because I can't remember nothing. I call her. If I go to the store for three items, I'll call her six times with my cell phone because I can't remember what she sent me after. Amen. Or I got to ask the details. Now, was it the big package or the little package? What did you tell me? Amen. Amen. But I can still remember this day. People would come by and say, oh, Chuck, you know, how much is that round steak? And I'd pull it out there. That's $2.65. I can still remember all the prices in the whole box. Amen. It's crazy. Well, then you'd wrap it, weigh it, and wrap it up in the paper, you know, and send it over to him. Amen. There's this one gentleman in town. His name was Charlie. I never did know what his last name was. But old Charlie, amen, he's about no taller than I am, just a little guy. Old pruny, brown, dried up, you know, scrawny face. Big old yellow, nasty teeth. Always wore some kind of a jacket. And I'm honest when I tell you that Charlie is probably the only guy that I never did just lean up on the counter and talk to. I always talked to him. I was always polite. I was always respectful. But he stank so bad. You just couldn't stand. You know, I'd just stand back. And old Charlie went through the same routine every single time. He knew he wasn't going to buy nothing. I knew he wasn't going to buy nothing. Everybody knew he wasn't going to buy anything. But he always started down here. How much is the hamburger? How much is the round steak? How much is the sirloin? How much is whatever else we had? Amen. But he always got down, and didn't matter if it was on sale for half price. He couldn't buy it. He just drank. He's just an alcoholic is all he was. He'd always work his way down to this end of the counter. And I'd slide that other, you know, we only had two glass doors. That's how big our meat market was. I'd slide the other door open, and I'd reach in and get that old stick. We had these rodeo bologna. Do you remember rodeo bologna? They come in them 26-pound sticks, and we'd cut it in thirds and stand it up in there. So I'd jerk out the rodeo bologna. He'd say, Chuck, won't you give me about 50 cents worth of bologna? And sometimes, great rare occasions, he might ask for me to cut off a little sliver off the 5-pound block of Kraft cheese. A little thin sliver about like, I mean, it's big, but you know what I mean, a small chunk. And as far as I know, that's all Charlie ever lived on, was just alcohol, a little bit of bologna, and a little bit of cheese and crackers. Amen. I told you Fletcher wasn't really big enough to have two sides to the tracks. That's not really true. There was a Phillips 66 on the other side, an old ramshackle thing. They don't use it no more. But right at the end of it was this tiny little homemade trailer. And now when I say tiny, I'm talking about it's probably only about 5 feet wide on the inside, and it's probably no more than 10 feet long. And the only thing they ever used it for was in the summertime. That's where they came, and somebody would rent it for June and July, and they would sell firecrackers out of that thing. And so me and all the boys, the whole town, man, we could blow all of our money in that little 5-by-10-foot trailer. That's just how few of folks we were. Amen. We would spend our money. As far as I know, that's all that little trailer house was ever used for. The tires never had air as long as I can remember. Amen. Just sat there and rotted away a little bit at a time.
But the guy who owned that, I don't know if he rented it. Probably not. He probably just loaned it. The only other thing they ever did with that little trailer was sometime Charlie would get in bad shape, and he would live in that trailer, 5 foot by 10 foot. And that was with the shelves and everything, amen, taking up more space. We was at church on a Wednesday night. Our young people always sat over here on the first four rows, and so I was always there in my place, amen. Here I am, 17 years old. We had one of our services, amen. I don't remember good service, bad service, you know, high or low. I don't remember nothing about it. We had the service. The way our custom in those days was, I don't know how y'all do it up here, but after we had the altar service, when you got done praying, everybody went back to your seats and y'all sat down, and, you know, we waited until everybody was finished, and then the pastor would stand up and give a formal, you know, dismissal for the whole church. So anyway, everybody got done praying. We go back to our seats, and I'm sitting over there in my place, and pastor says, all right, let's all stand. We're going to pray here and dismiss. Okay, now, and after you got us standing, now, ladies, before we pray, I need to ask your help if I can tonight. Some of you have probably already heard that Charlie died, passed away a couple of days ago, and he really doesn't have any family, but they'll probably be maybe a dozen, 15 people or something that'll come, friends and people that knew him. They're going to come here, and so they've asked us to have the church dinner for the people, the family, you know. And so I need to know how many of you ladies can help me tomorrow. I need two good roasts or two good meat dishes. Okay, one and two. Okay, thank you. Now we need probably about three veg. Thank you, two, three. All right. And we need two salads. Okay, thank you and thank you. Now, and who can bring a couple of pies or cakes? One, two. Okay, three. That'll be fine. Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. And bring them here about 10 a.m., and we'll serve the dinner. And then at 1 o'clock, I go down to the funeral home, and I'll preach the funeral. Let's all bow our heads, and let's pray. When we bowed our heads, I don't know what the brother prayed. I don't remember a thing he said. But as sure as the world, when I closed my eyes, I could see that pruny, brown, yellowish face leaning over the top of that silver stainless steel counter, shaking both fists in my face, saying, you never told me! You never told me! And to this day, when I think about Charlie, that's the only thing I can hardly remember, is that face. And it wasn't a vision or a dream, I don't know, but I could just see that face screaming. I mean, that terrible, raspy, high-pitched scream of, you never told me. Saints of God, do you still get excited when you have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus? Does it still thrill you? When the pastor says, can y'all, somebody visit some neighbors this week and try to bring some people, do you go, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I got to work late every day this week, so I won't be able to do that. Do you feel that? Then something might be wrong. You might need to go back and pray and say, God, I need a refreshing. I need the joy to return to my soul. I mean, I have people come up to me all the time. Well, brother, you must just really be something special. I couldn't do that like you. I just couldn't go overseas. And I just couldn't stand that stuff. Do you think I can stand that stuff either? Do you think I like eating chicken and rice and everything else you can imagine, just coated and doused and soaked in curry? I'm sick of curry. I hate curry. I'm sorry, but the missionary's got to be honest.